inner space, right? That, and which is what we're exploring when we're talking about prayer practices and techniques that are really, in part, ways that we work with the functioning of our mind, understanding it, befriending it, and also then in Unity's affirmative prayer, pointing it in a specific direction that affirms and claims the highest truth that we can conceive of. And when we conceive of that highest truth, that highest knowing, that highest expression of God or divine mind or divine life, the important part is we are locating it within us. We have access to that. Yeah, everybody, just go ahead and turn your phones off. You're awake. That's the good news. It's fine. It's fine. We forget to announce that. I randomly have alarms go off that I mean to set for the morning, and they go off at like 7:30 at night. Yeah. And so we've been talking a little bit about mindfulness. Many of you have practices of mindfulness and are familiar with it. And I see that as a tool for really learning to work with our humanness, exploring it and holding it and befriending it, right? All of our thoughts and our feelings and our sensations, all that it is to be a human being. It's quite complex. And noticing as we do our thoughts and our feelings, and some of which come and go and some of which we need to respond to, but just to notice the plethora of them and to be aware of them. And in affirmative prayer, and prayer in general, as I said in that opening reading, is to begin to focus our thoughts towards the fullness of the divine and take that awareness into what Unity calls the silence. That's our expression or our experience of meditation, where we are focusing our mind in affirmative prayer on this higher truth and then giving that busyness of our mind something juicy to focus on. Now, it will wander off as it does, but we bring it back without judging, without resisting. We trust also that as we are doing that work, it's making an impression on all the levels of consciousness, right? That subconscious mind that picks up on everything. And our conscious mind is now focused on this idea of a higher truth for ourselves. And in that process, as we let that sort of percolate through our awareness, we're also connecting what we call in Unity superconscious mind. Ooh! Which is, we have the ability to connect with divine mind itself. It's where we get these ideas, inspirations, that of ourselves we know, whoa, that didn't come from just me. Unity, we just celebrated our 30th World Day of Prayer, which reminded me to revisit the story of our founder's healing story, Myrtle Fillmore. And I know you've heard this story if you've been here or if you've been in Unity for a long time, and you've heard about affirmative prayer. So I invite you to just have a beginner's mind today and listen for something that you might hear anew. Because the story is a profound one, and we say it a lot, or you learn it a lot when you're new to Unity, and then it kind of goes to the back burner. But it's a powerful story of Myrtle Fillmore, who at the age of 41 was suffering the effects of tuberculosis. I always am so glad when I can say that. And was also in this era of the New Thought movement that was percolating, that people were beginning to say, if you want to change your life, start noticing how you're thinking. There we go again. God is calling all morning long. I like to answer and say, hello, is it me you're looking for? Remember that Lionel Richie song? Okay, focus, people, this is very serious. So they were going to these lectures and learning about the power of our mind and actually looking at the teachings of Jesus for actual approaches to living life, not just sort of theories or all the dogma around it, but what was he saying about how we can live our life? And the main teaching was that we can know that we are one with God as he was. The Father and I are one. And he sought about expressing that and telling us this was true for us as well. So Myrtle was battling this experience. TB was very common at that time. And they had pretty much let her know that she would have a shorter life expectancy. And she went to this lecture, and this man named E.B. Weeks was speaking, and he said this sentence that rocked her world. "I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness." And she realized in that moment how she had really taken on this idea of inheriting this. It was kind of common that you inherited her father was not well, and that she had also really spoke and thought poorly of her body, that it was weak, that it was sickly, and she sought about shifting that. And she did that through affirmative prayer, but first she began by spending time in the silence apologizing to her body for all the ways that she had discounted it and held it to be weak and meek and incoherent, but that's not what I mean. Not well. And even just from that alone felt, sort of an internal healing. And she wrote about how quickly, how frequently we all criticize our body, right? In various and sundry ways, that it's this, too much this, not enough that, right? But the gift of this divine life that is living through us, we block that when we have those thoughts, when we limit our thoughts to how tan I am or I'm not, or heavy or, So she did that deep forgiving work, and then she sought about spending time in the silence, affirming that divine life living through every cell and atom of her body. And she was healed. I mean, she went on to live for another 45 years and died at the age of 86. And this was the beginning of the Unity Movement. Now, it's important to note that she didn't just do it for like a weekend. She did it for several times a day for 2 years. So really saturating herself in this truth. And as she began to heal and want to share that possibility with other people, they would write and ask for prayers. Please do that for me, right? And so that was the birth of the Society of Silent Help in 1889, where just her and Charles would sit and hold these prayer requests and hold this process of that divine life living through this person now. And then people wanted to learn how to do it. So the small team began, where she would teach just this process of affirming the truth and spending time in the silence to let it radiate through all levels of your consciousness and your body temple. And so from that we have what now is Silent Unity, for which over 130 years has been available 24 hours a day to pray with you. Via the phone, it started via written letters, mailing back millions of prayer letters every year, and then phone calls, and now emails and texts. So they're going along with the modern ways to reach out in prayer. So I included the Silent Unity phone number in your insert. If you haven't called them, I encourage you to do so. And this emphasis on the silence is meaningful, and it does have its roots in studying Jesus, who said, when you're going to pray, don't go out and make a big scene of it. And he was speaking to the religious elite of his time that were politically pious, if you will, like making it about they were doing this, but did it mean anything to them? And does it mean anything to us? Why are we doing it? We do it mostly to connect within, to know that presence within us. We do that in the silence of our own being. Hence the name of Silent Unity. So affirmative prayer, as we teach, and I should say that all forms of prayer are great, right? It's not to say if you ask or you do it in this certain way, it's okay, that it's wrong, right? But in the model that we teach, in terms of the five basic principles of unity, it's a form of prayer that we teach. So the first principle is that there is only one power and one presence active in the world. God, by whatever name you know it, divine mind, divine love, the universe, and all of creation is an expression of it, including humanity. I should say also that that power is a good power. It is life-affirming, it is creative, it is intelligent. And so we too, as expressions of that, have that as our essence. The goodness of us, the goodness of God resides within us. And we have the capacity to know that through the creative power of our thoughts. Our thoughts have power over our experience. They don't necessarily create our circumstances, but how we think of them and how we feel about ourselves about them have an impact on how we experience life, yes? And so the fourth principle is that the most creative use of that power of thought is prayer. Because we are aligning our mind with the power of the divine itself. And the fifth principle is it's not enough to know all that. We need to live and act as if we know it. So in that lineup, I hope you can see that affirmative prayer makes the most sense. Yes, if God is all and we are God and our thoughts are creative, what would we be asking or begging or missing? Other than an awareness that that is the truth of our being. In terms of the fifth principle, Myrtle Fillmore was fond of reminding people that one of the results of prayer was a change in our actions. If we pray for wholeness, for example, but continue to eat an unhealthful diet, continue to smoke and drink in excess, and neglect proper rest and exercise, just praying cannot compensate for the ways we are working against our prayers. If we pray for prosperity but foolishly spend our money, we are also working against our prayers. Regular, disciplined prayer is a way of thinking that literally changes the way we live because we begin to know ourselves in a fuller capacity, and so we act accordingly. I like that because I don't know about you, but in our modern era, sometimes I can cringe a little when we just send our prayers, right, to these circumstances that need action. Something needs to actually happen. Prayers are wonderful, but may they inspire action. And I feel like that is part of what our fifth principle is holding us to. So the key distinction of affirmative prayer is that it sets our mind on the higher truth of our being, claiming our inherent oneness with the divine, rather than on the details of the problem. Ever do that? You sit there and, I hope it happens this way because this shouldn't have happened this way. And this person, no, right? We're not hashing out the limitation or the details or the argument or whatever it is we're wanting inspiration about. We are actually thinking, What would help support this, be it healing, be it, right, be it forgiveness? I want to call upon those qualities and know them as my own. Harmony, understanding, wisdom, peace, love, etc. So some examples I've thought of is if there's a health concern, we affirm the fullness of divine life as the source of our being and envisioning health and vitality flowing through us. Now, we may still have to have a doctor's appointment or take supplements or do XYZ. It's not negating the action, but we are first and foremost centering ourselves in this higher truth, which supports our body, spirit and mind in moving through this particular challenge. If it's a relationship issue, we affirm the fullness of divine love and harmony and let that radiate through a time of meditation in the silence. If it's an issue of discernment, trying to make the right decision, we claim divine wisdom and we claim oneness with that wisdom as it expresses through us in wise thoughts and right judgment. And Unity's meditation method, as I mentioned, which that song so beautifully sort of captured, is called the silence, where we enter into a conscious experience focused on our oneness with the divine, and let that permeate through all aspects of our being. And so we will have an experience of that together. I love what Reverend Paul Hasselbeck, how he described the silence. He says that it is a state of consciousness and non-awareness. So it's that, you know, you're aware, but you're also expanding awareness beyond awareness. How do you say that? Expanding awareness beyond awareness. I dare to try to prove that. And in part, the driving force is that we're kind of retreating our focus from the external more and more, drawing inward and inward and inward. And again, noticing that our mind's going to do what it's going to do, and we might get uncomfortable, and we let that be, we readjust. But he says the silence is always there like the sun. It's a place of inner stillness and quiet that is the source of divine revelation, and from which we make discoveries of the eternal truths. I love this. From which we make discoveries of eternal truths, and therefore ultimately of ourselves. All spiritual awakening begins with self-awareness. So in the silence, we look away from and release the limitations and errors of our sense consciousness and enter into a greater sense of truth, the greatest sense that we at this point in our understanding can conceive of. And, you know, the Fillmores were definitely culturally Christian. Myrtle was a Methodist, but also, even back then, really resisting the limitations of dogma and limitations, also recognizing the limitations put on females of her time. You know, she went to school to become a school teacher. She went to Oberlin College. And so they believed very much in the teachings of Jesus as the essential truth of what they were seeking to demonstrate. And I love this quote that I found from Unity, a class, Unity 101, that says, and this is often, if you take Unity classes years ago, you would hear this sort of, Jesus Christ is now here with you. And who was it? Dorothy Pearson would say, he is? But the mind of Christ is available through us, and all that he taught continues to guide and teach us, to bring us into a consciousness of oneness with God. And for every experience where we have, where we feel separate, to connect consciously and let that radiate through periods of silence. Jesus's prayer for us was that we may know that we are one, as he demonstrated that he was one. And his mission is to bring us into unity with God by knowing and claiming that I am always with you. The mind of Christ, Christ consciousness, our divine nature is always with us. Do we turn to it? Do we claim it? That is what affirmative prayer seeks to do. So whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to God who is in secret within you. Shutting the door, by the way, is an idea of closing out the outer, closing, seeking to go inward, closing your awareness of all that goes on out, because there's plenty, right? And we can get sucked into all of that. But prayer time is a time to go inward. So just take a breath in that presence. Resides at the core of your very being. A that restorative presence. The power within you that leads you to deeper experiences of love and understanding. Just breathing into your heart space, where we connect with the depth of that idea that we are expressing divine life right here, right now. The life of God is living us. And so we let our mind focus on that. The life of God is living us in this very moment. And as we get still, we sense what we have heard of as God in the midst of us, God in the midst of our being. And so as we release a focus on anything happening outside of us, turning more deeply to that presence in the midst of us, God in the midst of you is love. God in the midst of you is wisdom. And so as we get still, we know in this very moment that our heart is an altar of the divine, of divine love, which is sure and unfailing and irresistible and magnetic. It draws to us that which we deeply desire. So as we set our intention on trusting that presence within us and using that wisdom, to greater prove and express the fullness of divine love. So we just let that idea settle in through every aspect of our awareness. God's life and love and wisdom resides within me now. So I open up to know how to more fully express it throughout all aspects of my own life. God's life is living me now. I let that be. And as we focus on our breathing, coming back to this time and space, giving thanks for our ability to deepen our awareness, to know it at all, and to live more fully into it. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope that you found something meaningful in our service. If you'd like to learn more about us or make a donation in support of what we do here, visit unitydenver.org. Our Sunday service is at 10 a.m. every Sunday. We hope to see you sometime in person.